We're going to take this time and we're going to read verses 17 through 24, get our bearings once again, and then we'll pray and we'll commit this time to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17, Paul writes, he says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." Verse 22. "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Let's take our hearts in hand to the Lord. Commit this time to our great God. Father, we're grateful for the privilege that we have to gather today. We're thankful for your word. Your inerrant, infallible word, your word that is perfect, that there are no errors and it's incapable of error. Father, you, Lord, have given us your word, your precious and holy word. May we study it and know it and take on the mind of Christ as seen through the pages of Scripture. Change us, O God, today. Lord, would you open the eyes of our understanding? Father, as you teach us, we need your help in understanding what you teach us. So, Lord, we pray as the psalmist did, teach us, Lord, but give me understanding so that I can walk in the ways of your law. Father, help us. Guide us. Give us the grace we need. Father, there's hearts in here that may be hardened to some aspects of your truth, maybe. There's unrepentant hearts in here. Father, you know where each of us are at. Each of us need to be humble and teachable. Each of us need to stop demanding our own way. Each of us need to be softened to the truth of your word. Each of us, Lord, every single soul in here this morning, every single soul that will hear this message, we all need to be softened to the truth of your word. We all need to be changed. So your Holy Spirit's the agent of change, the person of change. And I just pray, Lord, that he would move mightily amongst us and bring forth that change that we so desperately need as we seek to be changed more into the image of your Son. Guide us, we pray, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Verses 17 through 19, we see the condition of the old man. And Paul tells us that the old man is rooted in his thinking. His thinking defines his living. Ephesians 2 tells us wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world. That course is a world of anti-God human values. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our way of life in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling or indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, we are under the judgment of God, even as others. That's who we were. That is the condition of the old man. That's the condition of our unregenerate nature. But we see the profound words in Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 5. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." And so we saw the condition of the old man in verses 17 through 19 of Ephesians 4. He had issues. We had issues. But it was all rooted in how he thought, right? His understanding was darkened. His heart was past the point of feeling. He was insensitive to the truths of God. He was insensitive to spiritual realities. But God, who is rich in mercy, God intervened. God sent his Son. And because of that, there has been a change. And with that change, there is a continuous change. There's a change in salvation, but now there's to be this continuous change in our sanctification, our growing into Christ-likeness. And as we see here, we are to be developing Christ-likeness. And that's what verses 20 through 24 talk about. The condition of the old man or old nature is characterized by the state of his mind and the state of his heart. Paul goes on to say, "But ye have not so learned Christ." You did not learn Jesus in that personal relationship in with regards to how the old man is, the unregenerate man is. You didn't learn that from Jesus Christ. That was you naturally. He goes on to say, if so be that ye have heard him, heard Jesus, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. To learn Christ, being taught by him, brings continued change in our sanctification. In these next three verses, verses 22 through 24, Paul lays out for us the roadmap of growth and victory in the Christian life. It's a life of repentance that leads to a life of reflecting Christ. This process of change that we see in our sanctification is the process of intentionality. You have to be deliberate about it. You have to be intentional about it. It's a process that is purposeful and therefore effective. Because it's with purpose, it can be effective. But if you don't make an effort, if you aren't purposeful in your walk with the Lord, you will not become like Jesus. It just won't happen. When the believer makes little to no effort, according to what Paul teaches us here, the results are often very obvious. And we've talked about those. The process of change includes both the purposeful development and the purposeful display of Christ-likeness. So within the development process, there is repentance from sin, there's restraining our flesh, and there's renewing of the mind with the Word. We're going to look at that last one today. Our display of Christ comes from verse 24, where we see that we reflect His glory. It's a result. We're to put on Christ and reflect the glory of God. So what Paul is emphasizing is that the role that our thinking has in this process of the new man changing. He spoke of the mind and heart of the old man, and now the old is past and the new is present, but our thinking still has a great influence on our change. And so what we see here is that the development of Christ-likeness contains both a negative and a positive. There's the two negative actions and a positive action. Similar to the renovation process, a builder needs to demolish the old before he can construct the new. In the Christian life, there is the demolition process of putting off that which dishonors God. Sin has to be dealt with through repentance, but also has to be dealt with through restrainment. And so that's what we saw in the first part of verse 22, developing Christ-likeness through repentance from sin, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. We also need to develop Christ-likeness through restraining our flesh. We put off also that putting off of the old man, also understanding that the old man is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. We are deceived into thinking that what I'm doing is okay, that gratifying the flesh, there's nothing wrong with it, that I don't have to really work at this. I don't have to really stop doing anything that I'm doing. I just need to put on Christ a little bit more. And we understand that that's not the case. The putting off of the old man speaks also not only of repenting from sin, doing about face. I was walking in the way of sin. To put it off is to repent and to turn to walk in the opposite direction, the way of truth. But putting off also speaks of restraining the flesh. See, whichever you either have the flesh or the spirit, whichever one you feed the most, it wins. If we want to be spiritually strong, we need to feed the Spirit of God. And we need to restrain the flesh. Hold it back. Don't feed it. Stop feeding it. Weaken it. We wonder why we have such a problem not seeing victory in our lives. It's not rocket science. the reality is we're not feeding the Spirit enough, and we're not stifling, we're not restraining the flesh enough. That's it. That's it. There you can go home. Go for it. Right? But the reality is we need to strengthen the Spirit. Meaning, our yielding to Him makes Him stronger in our lives. So let's consider some things this morning. In order to effectively restrain our flesh and help our repentance from sin be long-lasting, hear me on this. This kind of hit me like just a freight train this week. It was just neat to see. See, in order to effectively restrain our flesh and help our repentance from sin be long-lasting, we must learn to diligently renew our minds. See, there's negative actions. We need to do something negative towards sin. Repent of it. Turn away from it. We need to do something detrimental to sin, our flesh. We need to restrain it. But positively, there's something we need to take on and embrace, and that's renewing the mind. If we just try to repent from sin and try to restrain the flesh without renewing the mind, it doesn't work. It will not work. You will not have victory in your Christian life. Yes, you need to repent from sin. Yes, you need to restrain the flesh. But the way that that becomes most effective and long-lasting is when we're renewing our mind with the truths of God's Word. We're strengthening the Spirit to be able to combat the flesh. See what happens? All right? And so, there needs to be letter C, the development of Christ's likeness through renewing our mind. Verse 23. Consider this. Biblical repentance. What is it? You see it in their notes there, the introduction. Biblical repentance is not only turning from sin, but also a turning to something. You turn from something in order to turn to something else. Okay? See, what if you just turn away from that sin, but you're kind of like, I'm not really intentional about going in the right direction. What's going to happen? You're going to migrate back to what's easy, what's natural. Follow? Okay? So there's a biblical repentance is I turn from sin and I am intentional about turning to something else. And that's to repent from sin, to stop going in that direction, I must be intentional about going in the right way, the way of God. See, that is, do you see how I restrain the flesh by putting it behind me as I intentionally seek to feed the Spirit with the Word of God? You see how that works? I restrain in my repentance from sin, my turning from sin. I restrain the flesh. I stop feeding it. I go away from it. But I'm intentional about turning towards something, and I want to feed the Spirit. As I feed the Spirit of my mind, I renew my mind, the Spirit of my mind, with the truths of God's Word. That's what we see here. See, it's turning from a walk which dishonors God to a walk which honors God. But there's intentionality here, turning from something in order to turn to something. Ephesians 4:23, and it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Greek word translated renewed carries the idea of the process of renovation. Process of renovation. Notice that there is a renewing or a renovation of the spirit of your mind. The spirit is the rational portion of your thinking. The spirit of your mind. See, we're made up of body, soul, spirit. We're a trichotomy. Right? And so we're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And the spirit is the rational portion of your mind. It's the thinking part of your mind. But consider what Spyros Zodiates, he's a Greek scholar, profound man of God. Through his dictionary on Greek words and Hebrew words, it's a commentary. It's just profound. It's such a blessing. He says this: the Spirit is man's immaterial nature, which enables him to communicate with God, who is also a spirit. Think about that. Your spirit, what God had, animals don't have this. That makes us different in a very special way. We can communicate with our Creator. We can get into a relationship with Him. We can learn Him. Not just learn about Him, we can get to know Him in a personal, intimate way and continue that. Just like any person that you are with right now, you can learn them. Not learn about them as from a distance, but you can get to know them intimately, personally, and continue to grow in your knowledge of who they are. With the Spirit that God has placed within us, that's the part of us that can communicate with God. So notice this. I just find this fascinating. The new man's spirit is in the process of renovation. How I communicate with God, that intimacy with God, it's under renovation. Why? It's in the process of being transformed. Why does it need to be transformed? See, Adam and Eve were created with that same spirit, were they not? But what happened? Genesis chapter 3. Eat this fruit, it'll make your eyes open and you will be like God. Oh, yeah, let's have at it. Let's do it. Oh, but God says, don't eat of that fruit. Oh, bummer. Let's eat anyway. See what happened. What happened once they ate of the fruit? What happened when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit? Before they ate of the fruit, they had sweet fellowship with God. They had intimacy with God. The Bible says that Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Can you imagine? Just the thought of being able to literally walk through the forest side by side with your Creator, talking with Him, communicating with Him, having sweet fellowship. That's what they had. And that's what they lost through disobedience. The Spirit, the portion of communication with my Creator, was corrupted because of sin. Once they disobeyed His righteous command, sin as a wedge came between and soured the fellowship that they once knew. Their spirit with which they enjoyed communication with their Creator was corrupted by rebellion and selfishness. Consider what it says in Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 59 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear." But notice this, verse 2. You see it in your notes there. Verse 2, it says, "But your iniquities, your sin, has separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." What does sin do? What does sin do? It separates us. It's a wedge between us and God. It breaks fellowship with God. That sweet communion, that intimate fellowship with God is severed. And God will not hear us when we're in sin. Understand? Isaiah 59 makes it adamantly clear that we need to be repentant. We need to be restraining. We need to be renewing our mind. We need to be turning from our sin, getting rid of it, dealing with it, if we want to enjoy sweet communion with God. If we are unwilling to repent of sin, turn from sin and turn to God. Be sure of this. You will have a life of defeat, spiritual defeat. There's no other way around it. Because God will not hear you. You can't have fellowship with God when you're living in sin. You just can't. See, this is the state of the old man. The unregenerate man, his communication and fellowship are corrupted by sin so that he cannot enjoy sweet fellowship with his Creator. The mercy of God through the perfect sacrifice of His Son made a way out of this reality. But God, who is rich in mercy, or with His great love He loved us. Right? But God stepped in. But God intervened. Through the cross, there is forgiveness. Through the cross, this corrupted and hindered relationship can be reconciled. We've already studied through this, Ephesians 2 and verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes you once were afar off are made nigh, brought near by what? The blood of Jesus Christ. What an awesome reality. And so in the life of the believer, that corrupted spirit is being renewed. That spirit, the spirit of his mind, that spirit has been recreated, if you will. Sin's been dealt with, forgiveness, there's reconciliation. But yet the reality is I still sin in my life, don't I? Don't you? And the reality is I still need to deal with that sin. And if I don't deal with that sin, I can't enjoy that sweet fellowship that God, through the shedding of His Son's blood, has paved the way for me to enjoy that reconciled fellowship relationship with Him. If I, as a Christian, refuse or don't intentionally deal with my sin, repenting of it, restraining it, and renewing my mind with the truth of His Word, how can the spirit of my mind be renewed? How can the spirit of my mind be transformed so that I can enjoy sweet fellowship? If I don't deal with sin intentionally, I cannot enjoy sweet fellowship with God. That's why the spirit of my mind, the spirit, the part that communicates with God, that has to be renewed. Follow? Sin is put off. It is repented of and restrained, and the spirit of your mind is renewed. In order to effectively restrain our flesh and help our repentance from sin to be long-lasting, we must learn to diligently renew our minds, renew the spirit of our mind. We renew the spirit of our mind with the truth of God's Word. Repentant thinking leads to repentant living. Renewed thinking leads to renewed living. And so, in Ephesians 4:22, as we're discussing the development of Christ's likeness, that it contains both this negative and positive actions. In verse 22, it speaks of the negative actions, the demolition process of putting off sin through repentance and restraining. Repentance of sin and restraining the flesh. But in verse 23, we see the positive action, the building up process through the renewing of the mind with truth. See, this is the process of embracing a new mindset that submits to God's will and Christ's way of living. This is not behavior modification, is it? This isn't the power of positive thinking. This is a power of a changed spirit in your thinking, a changed way in which you communicate with God. It's making that corrupted spirit that you have, your corrupted communication with God, your corrupted vehicle of having fellowship with God, and it's cleansing it, it's renovating it, it's renewing it, so that I can now, not with the power of positive thinking, but with the power of renewed thinking, fellowship with my God in a way that I have yet to see prior to being saved. And at times, many believers have yet to see it even as a believer. And they wonder why I don't feel like I have this sweet fellowship with God. People talk about it and it's like, oh, it's only the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John. They were like that higher echelon of Christians, and they got to enjoy that kind of fellowship. But that's not for the rest of us normal Joe Christians. Why? The reality is because we don't experience that. We don't enjoy sweet fellowship with God because we have yet to figure out how to deal with sin. We have yet to be obedient to the basics of dealing with sin, repenting and restraining sin, and renewing our mind with the truths of God's Word. Renewing that portion, the spirit of our mind that communicates with God. If we leave that unchecked, if we don't deal with this portion, defeat is our future. Follow? Is it beginning to make some sense? It's challenging for us. See, this is not behavior modification, but a daily process, hear me on this, of influencing our heart through our head. It's a daily process of influencing your heart through your head. It's a process of learning Christ and being taught by Him through the ministry of the Spirit of God, teaching us the Word of God in order to transform us in the likeness of the Son of God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Paul writing to the saints at Galatia, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." What does that sound like? Does that sound like being intentional about doing something? A command, walk in the Spirit. Literally, what he's saying, walk in step with the Spirit. Just like Adam walking with God in the cool of the day. Be intentional. Be on time with your appointment with God. Don't, "Oh no, I forgot." None of that. No, be intentional. Walk with the Spirit. Be intentional about it. Walk with the Spirit. And by walking with the Spirit, you cannot fulfill the lust of the flesh. By walking with the Spirit, you will restrain the flesh. Do you see that? There's a number of puzzled looks in here. It's almost like, I don't know. Are you there in Galatians chapter 5? I didn't tell you to turn there, but don't just take my word for it. Don't just look in the outline and say, "Okay, Pastor John wrote it down, it must be right." No, go to the Scripture. See it in black and white. See what God says. God says this. You walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Take God's word for it. Okay, so let's consider, how do we do this? The Bible tells us, we understand that we're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. How do we go about doing that? There's a few things that we need to keep in mind. A few points that we need to maintain and understand. And we need to understand, turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18, if you're there in Ephesians, turn back to the left a couple books. You go back to Galatians is right before, and then 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Consider what it says, the very last verse of this chapter. Consider, if we want to have our minds renewed, we need to understand who the teacher of renewal is. Point number one there, who is the teacher of renewal? The teacher of renewal is the Holy Spirit. What do we see in 2 Corinthians 3:18? "But we all with open face," that's talking about having an unobstructed view, "beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord." Now, a couple things just to draw to your attention. That glass is literally talking about a mirrored object. Back in Paul's day, they didn't have mirrors like we have that has really clear reflection in it. They would have a polished piece of metal. And so you think about how difficult would it be to see your reflection in a polished piece of metal. You can polish that up really good. It's still pretty fuzzy, isn't it? You're better to look in water, right? The nature of it is, whereas we before had this obstructed view where it was blurry, it's as if through God's Word, the mirror of the Word of God brings clarity through the Holy Spirit's ministry. The teacher of renewal is the Holy Spirit. Notice what it says. As we beholding, that's intentional, beholding as in a glass. So you gaze, it's this holy gaze upon the glory of the Lord. You're changed into that same image, the same image in which you gaze upon. You're intentionally gazing upon the glory of God. You're changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by, what does it say? Spirit of the Lord. the teacher, the one who helps us, the teacher of renewal, the person of change, is the Holy Spirit. He's the one who helps us as we have this holy gaze upon the Word of God, holy gaze upon the glory of God. He's the one that brings renewal, brings change into our lives. He is the object. Notice what it says. If you're there in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Notice what it says. Why do we need the Holy Spirit to help us? Why do we need the Holy Spirit to be our teacher? Jesus said in John 14 that I will send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He shall bring all things into your remembrance. Whatsoever said, he's going to teach you. He's going to help you understand. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 14. Notice what it says here. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? What it says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. You find it there? But the natural man, the unregenerate man, the old man, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't embrace them. He can't receive them. Why? They're foolishness unto him. They're meaningless. They're absurdity to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You understand them spiritually, but because his spirit hasn't been recreated, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit, the teacher living within him, giving him understanding, opening the eyes of his understanding. He looks at spiritual truths and what does he say? That's dumb. You believe that? Wow. The crutch of Christianity. You need that to live your life? You believe in this Jesus guy? He died for your sins? Sorry about your luck. You are a sinner? You have to place your... No, I can get to heaven my way. You guys are a bunch of fools to believe in Christianity. That's the way the world looks. Why do they say that? Why does the world look at Christianity and see as a bunch of fools? Because to them, the truths of God's Word, it's utter foolishness. It's absurdity. It doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless. Because they don't have the capacity to understand, because they do not have the Holy Spirit indwelling them, teaching them, helping them to understand. Do you see what you have? Do you see what you have? You have the Holy Spirit to help you understand. So we see there's this teacher of renewal. He's the Holy Spirit. Consider, keep going back to the left. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We not only see the teacher of renewal, but we see the transformation of renewal. What's the transformation of renewal? How do we go through the transformation process? What is this transformation? Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Many of you know it. What does it say? Be not conformed to this world. Don't be, that word conformed, think of Plato. All right, you older folks, you can think back or just think back to playing with your grandkids and playing with Play-Doh or your children. And you take that Play-Doh and you press it into this mold and you pull it back out. And what do you see? It's conformed to the mold, the world. God says, Paul, through the pen of Paul, he says, don't be pressed into the mold of the world so that you look like the world. But be ye transformed. Transformed. That word transformed is metamorpho. What does that word sound like? That Greek word metamorpho, it sounds like what we understand in science. Metamorphosis, right? The process of a caterpillar entering into a cocoon, and at some point in the near future, he comes out of that cocoon looking like a beautiful caterpillar? No. It doesn't look anything like a caterpillar. He's transformed. You can't mistake a butterfly for a caterpillar, can you? They don't look anything alike. The colors have changed. The body shape has changed. He's grown wings where he didn't have them before. He doesn't have to crawl along the ground anymore. He can fly. It's amazing. You can't. That kind of transformation is just beyond. It's supernatural, isn't it? See, God is saying to us that I don't want you to be pressed into the mold of the world so that you are conformed, looking like the world. I want you to be transformed. I want you to go from being a caterpillar to looking like a butterfly. I want the world to see that kind of transformation in your life. That it is unmistakable. That nobody can look at you and say, nah, he's the same old guy he used to be. But he looks at you and says, wow, something happened here. And you can point them to God. And see, the reality is, the only way that you're transformed, the only way, see, too many Christians still look like caterpillars. Why? Because the spirit of our mind is not being renewed with intentionality. So we still look like the old man, the old caterpillar man, the old slimy, crawling along the dirt kind of man. We don't look changed. Why? Because we aren't with intentionality having our mind renewed. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. The renovation of your mind. What's the point? For what purpose? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What happens when an unbeliever looks upon the Christian who has been transformed from a caterpillar into a butterfly? They can't help but say, God did something. Right? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewal process is a replacement process. Please understand this. Bottom of page 2, the renewal process is a replacement process. The old mind needs to be replaced with a new mind. The old thought must be replaced with new thoughts. Our thoughts of lust must be replaced with love for God and others. Our thoughts of envy, hatred, anger, fear, anxiety, selfishness, pride, etc. must be replaced with Christ-honoring thoughts as well as thoughts of God Himself. Where do we go to find that? Well, you're there in Romans chapter 12. Go to the right and go through 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Go to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Go there. I want you to see this. What does it say? What does God say? How do we replace that thinking, the old man thinking, with the new man thinking? Well, we go and do what God says. Philippians chapter 4. Are you there? Isaac, when you get there, look up at me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Verse 8, what does it say? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, excellence, if there be any praise, what does it say to do? Think on these things. Is that a command or is that kind of like, you might want to do this? It's a command, right? So in order to be obedient to a command, do you need to just, oops, fall into it? Or do you need to be intentional about it? Son, I want you to make your bed. Just fell into my room and there was made. Is that how it works? Pete, can you make your bed just by falling into your room and, oh, there's, no. A command, if we want to do something, what do we have? We have to, if we want to be obedient to a command, we have to be intentional about doing it. Well, Paul, writing to the saints at Philippi, it's within the context of verse 6, is be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. And God, through the pen of Paul, is promising, I will give you this transcendent peace, this peace that surpasses all understanding. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, good, lovely, pure, all of these things, think on them. Notice what verse 9 says, and the God of peace shall be with you. See, the reality is, God wants us to think differently. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, fixed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust thou in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He's a rock of ages, literally. See, this is the reality. The renewing of our mind takes place when we replace the old with the new. When we repent of sin and we restrain sin by renewing our mind, repenting towards something. See that? Go in a different direction with intentionality. Know where you're going. The roadmap. If you are looking to, if you want to get to a destination, now go back before you had GPS, and you could just plug it in and just follow where it's going and listen to her tell you where to go. Back in the olden days, you got out the map, right? I want to get to here, but I'm here. How do I get there? Well, I need to go up this road and go over here and this. And I have to be intentional about how to get to where I'm going. Where do you want to go in your spiritual life? Where do you want to go? All of us in here want to go to heaven, don't we? But do you realize I'm not even talking about heaven with this roadmap? The destination is Christ-likeness. Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to be like Christ? If you want to be like Christ, displaying Christ-likeness, if you want to bring glory to God, you have to know the route to take to get there. Paul lays it out for us, doesn't he? Think on these things. Turn from sin. Restrain sin. Repent from sin. Repent towards something. Renew the mind. Ultimately display Christ-likeness when you follow God's way. Number three, we not only see the teacher of renewal, the Holy Spirit, we see the transformation of renewal, going from a caterpillar-looking Christian to a butterfly-looking Christian. We see, number three, the truth of renewal. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Literally, that's talking about renewed in the knowledge of God, after the image of Him, God, that created him. So the idea here is, how is the old man renewed? He's renewed in truth. He's renewed in truth. He is renewed in the knowledge of the image of Him that created him. This speaks of the deepening of the image of God in the new man through the increased knowledge of God, knowing God more. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul says to the saints at Philippi, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. Then it goes on to talk about who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Taking on the mindset of Christ is taking on the mindset of humility. It's taking on the mindset of servanthood and sacrifice. See, pride is us demanding my way. Humility is submitting to God's way. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, the second half of the verse, it says, God resists the proud. He takes up arms. He goes to battle against the proud to bring them into submission. So the one who demands their own way, God resists them. But he gives grace to the humble. He helps the humble, the one who submits to his way. If we want to be like Christ, we all should want to be like Christ. If you want to have victory in your Christian life, we all should want victory in our Christian life. If we want to be effective in our Jerusalem, influencing people to Christ, being that witness that God called us to be, we need to be intentional about following the roadmap that leads there. And that is with regards to being repenting from sin, restraining the flesh, repenting towards the truth, being renewed in the truth of God's word. You have to be intentional. The process of renewing your mind takes time and effort. There is a cost involved. The idea of the word renew is that of renovation. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, abundantly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of God, Christ dwell in you richly. Let it be so. Are you... You hear me? Listen. Are you being intentional daily about letting Christ's word dwell in you richly? Are you with intentionality planning? Are you saying, before I get on with my day, before I get going, I'm thinking the previous night, tomorrow morning, I'm going to spend time with God like I'm thinking, what am I going to have for breakfast? What am I going to wear tomorrow? Am I committing to a time slot with God? That's letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Planning to spend time with God. Not giving him the leftovers, but planning on it. But planning on giving him time. And you have to work your way back. If I need to get out of the house by such and such a time, and I need this much time to shower, eat, and everything else that I need to do, then I need to work my way back. So I need that much time. But then if I want to spend time with God, I need that much more time. So therefore, how much time do I need to sleep? Well, I need to work my way all the way back. And so I need to be in bed by this time. I need to be sleeping by this time so that I can get up by this time so I can spend this time with God. So that I can have my time with God before I get out the door. And I'm not rushed. Man. There's so much effort involved. Pastor, this is just too much planning. It's worth it. Consider the time of renewal. And I close with this point. There's the time of renewal. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. It says in Joshua 1:8, God says to Joshua, there's time that's involved. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. You want a guarantee? We like guarantees. Go to the store and you buy a new washing machine or a new microwave, and the guarantee is pretty slim, isn't it? It just might make it to the end of the week if you're lucky. And then you got to pay $20 to throw it in the landfill because they don't want it, you know. And oh, by the way, you're going to have to pay us to come pick it up so that you can pay the $20. It's like, Do we make anything that lasts? What's the guarantees anymore? What do they say? You're guaranteed death and taxes? Well, let's put a spiritual... Let's move us in a spiritual direction. There's a guarantee that God sets in place here that He tells Joshua. He says, you meditate in My Word day and night. You spend time with Me that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You obey what you see. You be intentional about getting into the Word. You be intentional about obeying the Word. And you will have spiritual success. Don't take my word for it. You see it in black and white. See what God says. God promises success. And what is success biblically? Success is not in the product. It's not in the end result. Like worldly success. Success biblically is in the process. It's called obedience. You obey. There's your success. There's blessing. There's blessing. The last point, we're closing quickly with this. The tenacity of renewal. Tenacity, the stick-to-itiveness. Renewed thinking produces renewed living. James chapter 1. Please turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. Let's just close with these few verses and just consider how James, he brings repentance, restraining, and renewal together pretty in a very neat way. James chapter 1, he says this. Chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. I want you to see something here. James, he writes in verse 21, the first half, he talks about restraining the flesh by laying off, putting off. He says, wherefore lay apart, put off all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That superfluity is an exceeding measure of naughtiness, of wickedness. Okay, so restrain the flesh. Do something with it. Put it off. Second part of verse 21. Renew the mind by receiving with meekness. Notice what it says. And receive with meekness, with humility, a teachable spirit, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The very truths of God's word. Notice next, we see in verses 22 through 24, repentance, that is turning from sin by being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. It says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding, looking carefully at his natural face in a glass, a mirror, and he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He's saying, be a doer of the word. Repent of that old way. Repent from that sinful way. Turn from sin and do. Intentional. Look at what it says in verse 20, half of verse 25. We need to renew the mind by looking into the perfect law of liberty. This is an intentional process. To renew the mind with truth is to restrain the flesh of sin. Verse 25, but whoso looketh, that word looketh is the word parakoupto. That word parakoupto is like you've lost your contact on the floor and you are diligently searching, getting everybody out of the way, trying to find where that contact is. You need it. It's almost like life or death. I can't see without it. And so I got that one eye that has the contact. I'm just searching diligently. We need to be searching the Scriptures diligently to find the truths that God has for us. That's renewing the spirit of our mind. There's repenting, turning to walk in truth by continuing therein. So notice what it says. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's with great intent, great struggle. That's just diligence in looking into the Word of God, renewing your mind. But there's also repenting, turning to walk in truth by continuing therein. He intentionally responds in obedience to what he hears. And he continues. He faithfully perseveres therein, he being not a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Do you see that? I asked if you like a guarantee. Do you like to be blessed? It's a rhetorical question, isn't it? We all like to be blessed. God, through the pen of James, he says, you parakoopto your way through the Bible. You study it diligently and then you do what it says. You will find God's blessing. That's not health and wealth. That's not a prosperity gospel. That's just straight biblical truth. Blessing. What will that blessing look like? God's blessing comes in a lot of different forms, a lot of different shapes and sizes. God's blessing so often is just simply that peace of God that transcends all understanding. That blows your mind kind of peace. God gives it when we do what He says. Renewing the mind enables one to faithfully walk in repentance. This leads to reflecting the glory of the Son of God. And so our point of action is this. Our worthy walk is explained by walking in purity. Our new life in Christ is to be marked by change. It's a purposeful process, which includes the development of Christ's likeness, which is also characterized by the renewing of the mind with the word of truth. This transformation comes with tenacity as diligent effort is made to spend time meditating upon the truth, aided by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. It all ties together. Got to be intentional. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time. Guide us, we pray, as we seek to bring you glory, Lord, as we seek to honor you, as we seek to magnify your holy name. Father, have your way in our hearts. Help us to learn to repent from sin, but repent toward your truth. Help us to learn how to restrain our flesh and feed your spirit through the renewing of our mind. Help us to be changed. Help us, Lord, to have that spirit of our mind be renovated. Help us, Lord, to be diligent about going through the process of enjoying sweet fellowship with you, sweet communion with you, as our mind is renewed with truth, as we repent from sin and restrain the flesh. Guide us, we pray. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.